Well, this is the place where you know what I'm going to say, so I'll just let it rip. And that is, turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is Deuteronomy, or Devarim, chapter 7. And right there, that's an interesting place. This is one of, I think, the most important chapters when it comes to understanding a lot of things that are fundamental to what Scripture really says as opposed to what men say he should have said. And I'll come back to that, but just remember, Deuteronomy chapter 7 is a real good place to point folks to if they don't understand how it is and why it is that we keep the Sabbath and we try to walk as he walked in the way and so many other things that the whole church just plain doesn't get because they ignore places like this book and especially this chapter. All right. Chapter 7, verse 12 is where we start. This is after the place where he says you should keep the commandment, singular, and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them. And then it says this, and that's why I begin with the last verse, because and it shall come to pass. Here's the key word. This is the word that is the title for the parsha, ekev. It shall come to pass because, ekev, you hearken, you hear and obey these ordinances and keep them and do them, then that Yahuwah your El shall keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your fathers. And let's pause there. There's a couple things that are interesting. This word because, I've always thought the etymology was kind of fascinating. The first few times I looked at it, it left me cold, and then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, no, this really does make sense. It has to do with the way the Hebrew language is, as the late Brad Scott used to say, kind of a bio-agricultural language. In other words, it relates. The words relate to things we can see, things that grow in the field, things that are crops, things that are parts of our body, physical things, things that we see in the sky, and so forth. And one of those is this word heal. Oh, did I say because? Yeah, it literally means heel, like the heel of your foot. And the reason why that seems to be rendered and associated with because is because just as your heel touches the ground first when you walk, and then the toe, heel and toe, right? That's the because. It follows. And it does kind of make sense. It follows, doesn't it? Anyway, if you hearken to these things, because you do that, actually, Yahuwah your El will keep with you the covenant, which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He'll also bless the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, your corn, your wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, the young of your flock, in the land which he swore unto your fathers to give you. So here is a kind of an early taste as well of the blessings that are probably some of the most famous sets of blessings in the Torah and in all of Scripture. And they show up at the end of the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 28. But here is literally kind of an indication of what's to come on that score. And it says, Yahuwah will take away from you, by the way, so is this, from you all sickness. He will put none of the evil diseases of Mitzrayim, which you know, upon you, but instead he will lay them upon those, as a matter of fact, all of those, it says, that hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples that Yahuwah your El will deliver up unto you. Your eye shall not pity them, nor, and this is vital, and this is also one of the real big themes of the chapter, nor shall you serve their gods. That'll be a snare unto you. And if you say in your heart, oh man, these are some bad-looking dudes, how can I dispossess them? They're more numerous than I. They're scary. How can we possibly do this, dispossess them? Well, it says, you shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what Yahuwah your El did unto Pharaoh, and matter of fact, under all Egypt, the great trials, things your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm, whereby Yahuwah your El brought you out. And you know what? So shall Yahuwah your El do unto all the peoples that you're so afraid of. Moreover, Yahuwah your El will send the hornet among them, until they are left, they that hide themselves, and they perish from before you. Don't be frightened about them. Don't be scared of them. Yahuwah your El is in the midst of you, a true El, great and powerful. And Yahuwah your El, your God, will cast out those nations before you, little and by little. Not all at once. Why? Well, that way you, if you were to consume them quickly, the beasts of the field might increase upon you. So he's going to basically displace them at a rate that you can then fill in. But Yahuwah your El will deliver them up before you. He will discomfit them with a great discomfiture until they are destroyed. He'll deliver their kings into your hands. You shall make their name perish from under Hashemayim, the heavens. No man will be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. Now, the last two verses here are the ones that I suggest we really need to take a listen to and understand, because it gives us a clue as to the depth of the disgust that he has for the paganism. As a matter of fact, for the whore church paganism, and that was the reason the whore church was cast out, is still cast out, and it's part of the reason why I refer to them, because of course he does too, as the whore church. It says this, "The graven images of their gods you shall burn with fire." Okay, so far so good, but listen to this. "Don't even covet the gold or the silver that's on them. You're not to take it unto yourself, lest you be snared therein, for that is an abomination to Yahuwah your El." Okay, now this is pretty serious stuff, but wait, if you think that's bad, just wait till we get to the next verse. But let's start there. Don't even covet the silver or gold that's on these things. Don't take it into you, because it's a snare. And it is, in fact, an abomination unto Yahuwah El. But wait, here we go. Last verse in the chapter. That makes it easy to find. "And you shall not even bring an abomination into your house and be accursed like it. You shall utterly detest it. You shall utterly abhor it, for it is a devoted thing." And that word there is cherem, devoted. You know, why is that such a bad thing? Devoted literally means it is utterly devoted to the wrong thing. It's like it's devoted explicitly and specifically to the satanic. That's how devoted it is. And it's a strong word. So don't fall for that. Now, again, this is, I remember when I was first beginning to study Torah and asking myself the question, why is it that he is so down on all this paganism, all these, you know, Christmas and Ishtar and the bunnies and the eggs? And as you've probably noticed, if you've heard me go through the Torah once or more times, I will express great disdain, because I think there's no doubt about it, that's the way he is. The word abomination is a strong word. His hatred, literally, is a strong word. The things we're supposed to do, very, very strong words, all of them. Utterly detest, utterly abhor, burn with fire, smash into smithereens. He wants these things gone. But this, to my mind, is probably the verse that really should bring it home to people. And ask yourself, oh, it's not a problem. You know, God doesn't mind. He knows my heart. He wants me to have that Christmas tree. Oh, really? Then why does he say, don't even bring the damnable thing into your house? Ooh, did Mark say the bad word? He calls it an abomination, folks. That means damnable. It means it is the worst possible word in the Hebrew for how he feels about it. There are metaphors, but nothing really comes close other than to saying abomination, toiba. Don't even bring it into your house. Would you bring a stinking pile of, doggy poo into your house and decorate it with silver and gold and then say, oh, isn't this wonderful? He knows my heart. He knows how much we love this. Don't even covet the silver or gold that's on it. So, yeah, that seems to apply to the same kinds of things as the other pagan crap that people bring into their house. So I emphasize this because he does. Again, it is vital. And if you're looking for a single place to show people how he feels about the paganism of the whore church, start here. The very end of chapter 7 in Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy 7, 7's an easy number to remember. Last verse is easy too. All right, chapter 8 starts this way. All the commandment, and again it's singular, kol ha-mitzvah, all the commandment which I command you this day, you shall observe to do, so that you might live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahuwah swore to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Yahuwah El has led you, these 40 years out here in the boondocks, in the wilderness, Bamidbar, that he might afflict you, to test you, to prove you, to know what was really in your heart, to know whether or not you would keep his commandments. He's afflicted you. He suffered you to hunger. He's fed you with manna, which you didn't know, not you or your fathers. And he has made you know. And by the way, this is one of those really, really famous things. You'll see Yeshua quotes it, and that's where most people remember it, places like Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. But here it is. This is what he's quoting. Man does not live by bread alone, but by everything, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yah. That's how man lives. He notes some other things too. Remember your clothing? It didn't wax old upon you. Your foot didn't swell. 40 years. And you shall consider, actually, yada, know this in your heart, that just as a man chastens his son, well, so Yehuah-Yireh chastens you. Now, to my mind, this is another one of those wonderful verses that demonstrates the depth of love. It is, you know, a man who doesn't love his son doesn't chasten him, doesn't correct him when he's wrong. That's part of the reason we have a whole society. Doesn't have fathers. It's got the almighty state as big daddy, and or the big daddy as big daddy, and look and see what happened to those scumbags. You're cracking, whoring sons that never got disciplined and still aren't. Well, the creator of the universe, he loves his son. He chastens him. That's why he chastens us. You shall keep the commandments of Yehuah-Yireh to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Yehuah-Yireh brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths springing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you can eat bread without scarceness. You won't lack anything there. A land whose stones literally are iron, out of whose hills you may dig brass. So this is also a land that's rich with mineral wealth. You shall eat and be satisfied and bless Yehuah-Yireh for the good land which he has given you. Beware. Now, this is another one of those verses that I think is so key. And to my mind, it's one of those real cautions. Because at least I know that there have been times in my life where I could have and probably did fall into this particular trap. Don't get suckered into this one. Beware lest you forget Yehuah-Yireh, and not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you to this day. Lest when you've eaten and you're all full, you just kind of pat yourself on the back. Oh, aren't I cool? Aren't I so good? You've built goodly houses. You're dwelling in there. You got herds and flocks. They've multiplied. All your silver and gold is multiplied. Life just doesn't get any better than this. All that you have is multiplied. And your heart is lifted up. And you say, after having forgotten Yehuah-Yireh, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, he brought you through the great and dreadful wilderness, where there were, remember, Nakashim, fiery serpents, scorpions, thirsty ground, no water, all kinds of nasty stuff. He brought there water out of the rock of flint for you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, things your fathers didn't know about, that he might test you and prove you, and in the end, to do you good. Well, anyway, lest you forget all of that, and he just finished reminding us, and say in your heart instead, aren't I, all that and a sack of potatoes too. I am so cool, I just can't stand it. I'm too sexy for my shirt, right? You've heard all this crap. My power, my might of my hand, that's what's gotten me all this wealth. But you should remember instead that it is Yehuah-Yireh, it's he that has given you the power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, here you go, if you in fact forget Yehuah-Yireh, and you walk after those other gods and serve them and worship them, I forewarn you this day, you will surely die, perish. Ooh. As the nations that Yehuah made perish before you, well, so you shall perish, because you would not hearken. Shamar, hear and obey the voice of Yehuah-Yireh. Now, we're going to see that word again. Shema Israel. This is a consistent theme through here. Shema Israel. Hear, hearken, and obey, O Israel. You are going to pass over the Jordan this day to go in and dispossess these nations that are greater and mightier than you are, cities fortified up to heaven, people great, tall, the sons of the Anakim that you know about, of whom you've heard said, who can stand before these big dudes, the sons of Anak? So know therefore this day that Yehuah-Yireh, he is with you. He is the one who goes over before you. He's a devouring fire. He'll destroy him. He will bring them down before you, so you can and should and will drive them out and make them perish quickly, as Yehuah has spoken unto you. Do not say in your own heart, after Yehuah, your El has thrust them out from before you, oh, it's because I'm such a righteous dude. Us, we're so cool, right? Isn't this a consistent theme, you notice? It's my righteousness that caused Yahuwah to bring me in to possess his good land. Whereas, it was the wickedness of those nations that Yahuwah therefore drove them out from before you. And as I read that, and I think about this land, folks, and by that I mean North America. I know we have people that listen all over the world, and certainly there are lots of places that have been blessed. But think of it. My righteousness. Yeah, you've heard manifest destiny. That's a particularly American thing. We're so righteous, we were brought into this land. Well, you know what? He kicked out the ones that were here before. He kicked them out of Canaan. He has dispossessed nations before, and he can do it again, and it looks like he's fixing to. The wickedness of those nations, that's what got them driven out. There's a message there. And not for your righteousness, nor the uprightness of your heart. That's not why you're going in to possess a land. It's the wickedness of those nations. That's why Yahuwah Yireh drove them out from before you. And at this point, it's past tense for us, but he is in the present tense driving them out as this is happening and being recorded. So that he might establish the word which he, Yahuwah, swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So know therefore, it's not for your righteousness that Yahuwah has given you this good land to possess. You know what? You are a stiff-necked people. So remember, do not forget how you made Yahuwah Yireh angry, wroth. And if you remember the bull, okay, that was the word that was used, literally flaring nostrils. That was how angry he was, Bamidbar in the wilderness. From the day that you did go forth out of the land of Egypt till you came here, you've been rebellious against Yahuwah. And you know what, folks? Here it is, 3,000 give or take years later, still true. Also in Horeb, you made Yahuwah wroth, and he was angered with you to the point where he was fixing to destroy you. Moshe says, when I'd gone up out of the mountain to receive those tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which Yahuwah made with you, I abode there in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't drink water or eat bread. Yahuwah delivered unto me those two tablets of stone, written with the very finger of Elohim. On them was written all of the Deborim, which Yahuwah spoke with you there in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in that fateful day of assembly. Came to pass at the end of those 40 days and 40 nights that Yahuwah gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. And he said unto me, arise, get on down there and hoof it, because the people that you brought forth out of Egypt have now dealt corruptly. They are quickly turning aside out of the way which I commanded them. They've made themselves a graven image, a molten image, another pagan fake god. Moreover, Yahuwah spoke to me and he said, I've seen this, folks. You know what? They are a stiff-necked people. So leave me alone, he said, that I might destroy them and blot their name out from under heaven. I'll make of you, talking to Moshe, remember, a nation mightier and greater than they. Now, it's notable here. Moshe doesn't point it out this time around. Rashi made a big deal. Moshe did anything except leave him alone. He literally didn't leave him alone so that he couldn't do what he'd said. You leave me alone, I'll go whack him. Instead, it says later, Moshe, I turned and I came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, the two tablets of the covenant in my two hands, and I looked, and sure enough, you had sinned against Yahuwah Yireh. You'd made yourself a molten calf and turned aside quickly out of the way which Yahuwah had commanded you. So I took hold of those two tablets, and I literally smashed them. I cast them out of my two hands, broke them right there on the ground before your eyes. And I fell down before Yahuwah as at the first. 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't eat bread nor drink water because of all the sin which you'd sinned in doing that which was evil in the sight of Yahuwah explicitly to provoke him. Because you know what he says? I was in dread of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith Yahuwah was so angry, so wroth against you to destroy you. But Yahuwah hearkened, he shamarred unto me that time too. Moreover, Yahuwah was really angry with Aaron. He was angry enough to destroy him too. And I prayed for Aaron at the same time. So I took your sin, the calf which you'd made it, and I burned it with fire, beat it into pieces, grinding it into dust. And then I cast the dust into the brook that descended down out of the mountain. He put it in the water. And he doesn't say it here, but if you remember, folks, he made the folks drink. And then he sent the Levites out to whack a bunch of them. 3,000 died that day. At Taberah and at Massah and at Kibrot HaTa'avah, you made Yahuwah angry, wroth. It wasn't just this one time. when Yahuwah sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you, well, you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah. You didn't believe him. You didn't hearken to his voice. You can hear him sighing, right? You have been rebellious against Yahuwah from the first day I knew you. Since day one, you've been doing this. So, I fell down before Yahuwah the 40 days and the 40 nights that I fell down, because Yahuwah had said he would destroy you. And I prayed unto Yahuwah, and I said, O Yahuwah Eloheka, don't destroy this people and your inheritance, because you've redeemed them through your greatness, the people that you brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor their wickedness, nor their sin, lest the land which you brought us out, in other words, the people, the inhabitants that you've just finished saying are so wicked, lest they say, oh, you know what? Yah wasn't able to bring them up out of the land which he promised, because he hated them, brought them forth out to slay them in the wilderness. So in other words, Moshe is saying, they'll say bad things. You don't want that to happen. Yet, they are your people and your inheritance, and you did bring them out with a great power and with your outstretched arm. So at that point, he says, next verse first verse in chapter 10, at that time, Yahuwah said to me, get yourself two more tablets out of stone. Come on up to the mount and make yourself an ark out of wood. And I'll write on the tablets the words that were on those first ones that you broke, and you will then put them in the ark. So I made an ark out of acacia wood, hewed two more tablets of stone like the first ones, went up to the mountain with the two tablets in my hand, and he wrote on them again, according to the first time, the 10 words which Yahuwah spoke in the mount out of the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly, and Yahuwah gave them to me. So I turned, I came down to the mountain, I put the tablets in the ark, which I'd made. Here they are, just as Yahuwah commanded me. And the children of Israel then journeyed from Be'erot, Bene Yakin to Maserah, and there Aaron died, and he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the office of the Kohen Gadol, high priest, in his place. And from there, they journeyed unto Gilgad, and from Gilgud, Gudgod, and from Gudgod, and that's kind of the English rendering, to Yotba, a land of brooks of water. At that time, Yahuwah separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah, and to stand before Yahuwah to minister to him and to bless his name as it is unto this day. So Levi now, and we knew this, but he's reminding us, Levi has no portion in inheritance with his brethren, the other tribes. Yahuwah is his inheritance, according as Yahuwah spoke to him. Now, back to the story. Moshe said, I stayed there in the mountain as at the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. Yahuwah hearkened to me that time too. He would not destroy you. And Yahuwah said to me, arise, go before the people, cause them to head on out, set forward, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Now here comes one of the statements. This is probably highlighted in your Bibles. If not, you might want to. This is one of those, I would say, eloquent summaries of, well, what it's all about. And here's how he puts it there. And now, Israel, what does Yahuwah Yireel require of you? But to fear, Yare is the root word there, to fear, honor, this is a reverent kind of fear, to fear Yahuwah Yireel, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahuwah Yireel with all your heart and with all your soul. To keep for your own good the commandments of Yahuwah and his statutes, which I command you today. So what does he require? It's phrased as a question. Behold, unto Yahuwah Yireel belongs the heavens, Hashemayim, and the heaven of heavens, the Haaretz, with all that is therein. Only Yahuwah had a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. So circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and don't be stiff-necked anymore. For Yehuyarel, he is the Elohim, de tute Elohim. He literally is the God of the gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty, the almighty, the awful, who regards not person, nor takes reward or bribe. He does execute justice for the fatherless and the widow. He loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment, clothing. And you, therefore, too, love the stranger, for you, remember, were strangers in the land of Mitzrayim. You shall fear Yahuwah your El. Again, the root word there is Yareh. Him you shall serve, to him you shall cleave, by his name shall you swear. He is your glory, he is your Elohim, that has done for you these great and tremendous things which your own eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, 70 folks is all. Now Yahuwah your El has made you like the stars of the heaven for multitude. At this point, the estimated size, remember, of the mixed multitude is around 3 million or so. At least that's what the sages claim. And, of course, 603,550 are the number of men of the age and ability to go to war. The last chapter in the Torah portion this week says, Now therefore you shall love Yahuwah El and keep his charge and his statutes and his ordinances and his commandments always. You notice how that phrase, keep his statutes, judgments, commandments, keep and do, just keeps getting repeated? I don't know. It must be important. Again, why do I emphasize it? Because he does, over and over and over again. And I'll admit, it still irritates me when I hear the so-called miseducated, they claim to be educated, that cemeteries taught them that the Old Testament's all old stuff, done away with. If that's true, folks, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Because the first words out of Yeshua's mouth, right there at the Sermon on the Mount, right, his very first public address, he's not changing any of it. They call him a liar. How dare they? How many times does he have to repeat it? Answer. Evidently not enough. Because I guess what he said here is also still true. A stiff-necked people. Know this day, he continues. I'm not speaking with your children that have not known and that have not seen the chastising, the chastening of Yahuwah your El, his greatness, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, and his signs and his works, which he did in the midst of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all the land, what he did to the army of Egypt and their horses and to their chariots, how he made the waters of the Sea of Reed to overflow as they pursued you, took them out, and how Yahuwah has destroyed them unto this day. What he did unto you in the wilderness till you came into this place. What he did unto Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, son of Reuben. How the earth opened up, swallowed them. They and their households, their tents, everything that was with them. All that followed them, every living substance in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great work of Yahuwah which he did. Now, remember, at the point where Moshe is speaking this, some of them are too young to have remembered that. Some of them were born Bamidbar, in the wilderness. But all of them, at least for sure, have had lots and lots, multiple witnesses. So they've seen enough and they've heard enough that this is a fair statement. They're pretty close to it. They ought to know what's true. Therefore, he says, you shall, well, what? Here it is again. Keep all the commandment. Note that that is singular. Shema Israel. All the commandment which I command you to this day, that you may be strong, Kazakh, go in and possess the land that you're heading over the Jordan to go possess, so that you may prolong your days upon the land which Yahuwah swore to your fathers to give them and to their seed, a land flowing with milk and honey. Because the land that you're going in to possess, it's not like the land of Egypt that you came out of, where you sowed your seed and did water with your foot as a garden of herbs. But the land you're going over to possess is the land of hills and valleys and drinks water as the rain of heavens comes down. This is a land which Yahuwah your El cares for. The eyes of Yahuwah are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And here we go. It shall come to pass. And it shall come to pass. It's a promise. But wait. Hear this word? Im, right? If. It's a conditional promise. If you shall, guess, the other word here, Shema, hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you to this day. Here it is again. This must be important. I keep saying that, and he keeps saying it. to love Yahuwah your Elohim, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, then I will give you the rain of your land and its season, the former rain, the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn, your wine, your oil, and I will give grass in your fields for your cattle. You'll eat and be satisfied. So take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And the anger of Yahuwah be kindled against you, and he shuts up the heavens, like he's shut up the heavens in most of the world today, major drought, literally worldwide, so that there is no rain, and the ground shall not yield or fruit, but you perish quickly from off the good land which Yahuwah gives you. Therefore, you shall lay up my words in your heart and in your soul. And listen to this, because if this sounds familiar, it should. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, and when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you rise up, when you lie down. And you shall write them on the mitzutzot, the doorposts of your house, and upon your gates. If it sounds familiar, folks, this is kind of part two of the Shema. This is the rest of that commandment. We read it every week and remember it. These are the things that we should do. And this, by the way, is the reason why I use that word, the doorpost there. You've heard it. The term is mitzutza, or plural mitzutzot, the doorposts. Have you seen the little box that's often called a mezuzah? That's what's put on the front door. And they put these verses, along with Shema Israel, in there. And it's kind of a literal way to keep the commandment, but at least it's a good reminder. Teach them to your children. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you rise up, write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Let them be as frontlets between your eyes, right? All of that. Because if, he says, you diligently keep kol, all, of this commandment, singular, Shema Israel, this commandment which I command you, to do it, to love Yahuwah your El, to walk in all his ways and to cleave unto him, then Yahuwah your El will drive out all of these nations from before you. You shall dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. Literally, every place that the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Heel and toe, heel and toe. Every place that the sole of your foot treads will be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the sea shall be your border. The Mediterranean, the hinder sea. There will be no man able to stand against you, because Yahuwah your El will lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has spoken to you. And at that point, folks, on that really high note, it's the conditional, it is the then part, if then, all of these things will come to pass. No man will be able to stand against you. And the fear and the dread of you will be upon all the nations that are being kicked out. And he will, in fact, give you all of this land that your foot treads upon, as he has spoken to you. And with that, the Torah portion ends.